Okay, thank you for this opportunity. We've been speaking this weekend about Solus Christus, one of the great watchwords of the Reformation, Christ alone, and really a sound seminary is really having the same goal, Solus Christus. And so I want to read just four verses to you, first from Acts 19, 8 through 10. This is Paul's little seminary, training men for ministry. He went into the synagogue and spake boldly through the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, that is the gospel way, before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, the idea of a seminary is that godly men who know the doctrines of grace. Okay. The goal of a seminary is that the doctrines of grace would be taught by men who are godly, feel called to be professors of theology, and they teach it to men who feel called to ministry, and they go out, eventually get degrees and go out and receive churches from God, and they teach it to their people. So that's 2 Timothy 2:2. This is really the motto of our seminary, by the way. We take this as our model text. And sometimes there's even another step there. For example, in Malawi, we had an arrangement where we trained 2 men from Malawi at any given time. Well, in Malawi, the denomination that we're serving there has 5 million members. And every pastor averages 2,000 members in his church. Usually he has a church of about 1,000 or so, a main church, and then there are little satellite churches all around in the community, and he bicycles over to them and preaches there as well, and trains the elders, the ruling elders, who actually speak in those churches. Because they have so few men qualified to be professors in their seminary, we are training them. We send 2 back, and then they send 2 more over. So what we're doing in that case is we are training the men who are ministers. The men who are ministers are going out training the elders. The elders are training and preaching to the people. And so the idea of a seminary is that you multiply the teaching of the God-fearing professors so that it reaches the pew. And this also is what Paul's doing in Acts 19, verses 8 through 10. And I once gave a full talk on this. I just make it a few sentences here. But PRTS, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, if you put it in the context of Acts 19, 8 through 10, you can see a fourfold purpose for a seminary. Number one is the purpose of preaching. That's the P. Paul is preaching to the people, teaching them. Truth comes through the word proclaimed, Romans 10. I'm sure you know that well. And the goal of a good seminary is to teach in a fourfold way, preach in a fourfold way. You preach biblically. Everything must be grounded in the word. You preach theologically or doctrinally, taking the truths of that word and bringing them to the people. You preach experientially, that is, how do you experience and live in the
truths that are being taught and preached, and you preach practically, how then do you live out with your hands and feet and your life and your tongue in reaching others? So that's the P, preaching. The R stands for resisting. Paul's school in the lecture hall of Tyrannus was born out of persecution, and it faced controversy. And so a faithful seminary, like Paul's school there, must be countercultural. When we're biblical, we're always countercultural. We must separate ourselves from worldliness. We must resist sin and evil. So we prepare men in the seminary for gospel conflict in and against the world. The T, Puritan, preaching, R, resisting. The T stands for teaching. Paul was disputing daily, even for the space of 2 years, the Bible says. It seems that he was there from morning to evening, just bringing the word, disputing with others, teaching them, guiding them, showing them the truth. One scholar said, if you do the math, Paul probably spent 1,500 to 1,800 hours lecturing and teaching in Ephesus, which is about what seminary students receive in 4 years of training. So that's why I call this Paul's little seminary. And then fourthly, the S stands for sending. The whole goal of training men for the ministry is that they will then go out, go back to their countries. Right now we have 226 students, counting our part-timers. Our full-time equivalency is 112. But of those 226, 113, exactly half of them, are not from North America. And they have to promise, they sign a statement, that 75% of their scholarship money will be, they have to pay back somehow if they don't go back to their country. So the idea is we train them and then we send them back to their country and they bring the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now that sending, we have kind of a sending off each year with graduation, really. This year we have 23 graduates. Actually, it's next week. May 14, Paul Washer is going to be our commencement speaker. And these 23 students are going to 13 countries. So there's a beautiful sense of sending when you complete the program. You know, one part of you wants to keep them. They've become like sons to you. That's at least how I feel. As I'm getting older, I feel like a father to them. But the time comes, just like you as parents, the time comes when your children are sent, as it were, from your home into the world to lead their own homes in marriage and in family. And so it's like a spiritual father in the seminary. You train them for 4 years, you get close to them, and then there's a little nostalgic pain, but a great joy when you send them back to their countries, very different from the way they've come. Send them back gifted in preaching and teaching, knowledgeable in the doctrines of grace, more mature spiritually, to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so we feel, through this PRTS, preaching, resisting, teaching, and sending, we are doing some of the most important work in the world. What the world needs more than anything else is competent, godly, word-based, Christ-loving, soul-loving preachers that may turn the world upside down by the grace of the Holy Spirit with their proclamation of the Word. So that's, in a short word, our biblical vision. Now, the historical vision of that, of course, has a rich history, which I can't take time to go into much depth, but it's really grounded particularly in Calvin's amazing theological school in Geneva, where he did exactly the things I'm talking about and set an example for us. He established it only 5 years before he died. And 5 years after he died, they had already trained 2,000 students and sent them out all over Europe and even to Brazil. And in those years, most of the students sent to Brazil were martyred. But God used those students to go out and convert, by His Holy Spirit, 10% of the entire population. 3 million out of 30 million people became converted in that decade and the next from the preaching of the ministers that Calvin and his successor Beza trained. And so early on in the Reformation, one of the great hallmarks of the 16th century Reformation, and particularly 17th century Puritanism, which is of course thoroughly reformed, it takes the reformed truths and applies them all the more thoroughly to your life. One of the hallmarks of those two movements is that seminaries were viewed as the backbone of the entire Christian enterprise. As one of the old Puritans said, seldom, maybe once a century, you will get a really able preacher who hasn't been well trained. You know, Bunyan in the 17th century, about the only Puritan that wasn't well trained at Oxford or Cambridge. You get Spurgeon in the 19th century, and Lloyd-Jones in the 20th century. I can't even think of one in the 18th century. Almost every great minister in church history who's mightily used of God has had a good seminary training. Very few exceptions. And so this Puritan forefather said, do you want good missionaries? Do you want good church planters? Do you want good preachers? Well, you need good seminaries. You need a solid training. And that's true of every profession, isn't it? You need to be trained well, normally, to really excel in that. And so God raises up men to be professors of theology who are burdened with training men that they may teach others, who may teach others also. And so that came over to America in the form of Harvard. Harvard was envisioned 6 weeks after the Puritans landed. They were talking about establishing Harvard because they said, we cannot do in this new land without a seminary. Seminary was so very important to them. Today, very few people realize how important a seminary is. Why do we have so many liberal ministers today all around the country? Why so many have departed from Scripture? Many of those men went into seminary as sincere men and they came out as liberals. Seminary damaged them and destroyed them. And here's the problem. In most seminaries today, thank God, I don't have to say all, but in most seminaries today, even if there are one or two or three sound, theologically sound professors, for the most part, most of them are liberal in one way or another, don't believe that the whole Bible is inspired. And you see, if you get a checkered education, you come in as a 19-year-old young man feeling called to the ministry, serious about it, and some of your professors don't believe the Bible is the full Word of God, you get a checkered education at best. Now, it's not impossible to go to a liberal institution and still come out unscathed. God's a God of impossibilities. But it's not likely. And so our goal, our passion, our dream is that every country in the world that has a significant reformed presence, reformed biblical presence, will have at least one seminary in that country where every single professor in that seminary is thoroughly sound. That's our passion. That's our dream. Right now, that's true of only a handful of countries in the world. We have long ways to go, and it will take many, many years. That's one reason why we established a PhD doctoral program, because men who get a PhD, go back to their country, can often become presidents of seminaries. And if we can train them well and they go back convinced of this model of biblical, doctrinal, experiential, and practical preaching, and they are responsible for hiring their fellow professors, then hopefully they will work hard at establishing a seminary where all the professors are sound. Okay, that's my introduction. Let's turn to the next slide. There we go. Okay, you see that a building on the right is set back a little bit. Let me just explain this. We first started meeting in our house in 1993 with four students, or 1994 rather. And we had my 30,000 library books all over our house as a library of the seminary. And we had Reformation Heritage books filling the basement. And so I've got a really good wife. And we had books on every wall of every floor of our house, every room except the kitchen and the master bedroom. And but obviously it got too small very quickly. So then we rented, or we bought a home rather, just to the left of this, our present building, on the front. This building is set back just next door, and we started there in 1997, and that lasted for 8 years. It was just a regular home. We actually remodeled the garage, and the garage became the classroom and became Reformation Heritage books. So if classes were going, customers would come. You have to turn them away because they disturbed the class. That lasted until 2004, when we had at that point about 20 students. We couldn't fit them anymore. And we built the part that's closest to you. So that's 20,000 square feet. It's $3 million. And the next part was built in 2014, which is another 20,000 square feet, basically, and has a basement as well. So that was $3.6 million. And this is adequate for several hundred students. The first building was $3 million, I said, and we had a secretary who kept praying, a male secretary, in our daily prayer time. We prayed as a double staff, RHB and PRTS, every morning at 9:45, and when it was his turn to pray, he'd always pray that the building would be entirely paid for by the night of dedication. And Sinclair Ferguson would come to dedicate. Well, I pulled him aside one time and said, you know, that's like sending out Gideon's fleece and asking God to do this. And, well, first of all, it's never going to happen. We're never going to have all the money by then. And secondly, you have to be careful when we ask God to do things like that. Let's just ask God to help us raise the funds and leave it at that. He goes, no, I feel strongly about that. So I gave up and just let him pray. And amazingly, when the brick went up, funds started coming in from all over the world, and particularly from people who really want to see a seminary that is thoroughly biblical, thoroughly reformed, thoroughly confessional, thoroughly experiential, and thoroughly practical. Those are our best donors. And they give sacrificially. And people who catch the vision of the importance of a solid seminary from every professor, those are our great supporters. And we have about 1,200 of them now around the world. And they started giving. And on the night of dedication, we had $2.88 million, $120,000 to go. And I was greeting people as they walked in. And a lady walked in and said, I need to see you in your office a moment. And we went over to my office. She handed me a slip of paper. She said, you might need this. And she walked out. And I opened it up. It's $120,000. Exactly. And I just fell on my knees. I didn't get on my knees. I fell. And just was a flood of tears. Dried up my tears. We went out, and that night, when it was time to take an offering, I just said, we don't need to take an offering this tonight because the bill is entirely paid for. And there was like 300 some people there that night, and they just kind of went, you could hear them breathe in, and then like everybody was amazed. And so I've always said since then, you know, we my wife and I live right next door to the seminary. I walk 190 feet to work. I know I'm spoiled. But when I walk around the corner and the building comes up in front of me each morning, every single morning, I just look at it and I say, Lord, this is your building. This is your building. It's your work. Well, I never thought we'd have to build again, but because of the expansion, we did. And so when we built the second part for the $3.6 million, 10 years later, I told the staff in my unbelief, I'm ashamed of this, I told them, well, God usually doesn't do two miracles in a row, so let's not even pray that the whole building would be paid for because it's not going to happen. Well, the week of dedication, we had $3.54 million, basically from the same pool of donors, as well as the Heritage Reformed Churches and the Free Reformed Churches, which support the seminary, and other individual churches. And we had just $60,000 to go. And on Wednesday, dedication was on Friday. On Wednesday, a donor, potential donor called me and said, how much more do you have to go? And I said, $60,000. And the donor said, well, what about your operation fund? I said, yeah, it's down to zero. Well, don't you have to pay your employees next week? It was near the end of the month. I said, yes. Well, how much do you need for that? I said, well, $65,000. Oh, the donor said, so what you really need is $125,000. I said, yes. And the donor said, well, I don't have that kind of money available right now, so, but I'll give you a call in a few days and let you know what I can do. I said, thank you very much. The donor called back about 4 hours later and said, I was able to free up some of my stock. I got a check coming to you. I just put it in the mailbox for $125,000. You should have it by Friday. We got it on Friday at 3:30 p.m. and dedication was 7:30. And I could stand up and say again to the audience, this entire building is paid for by the grace of God. Next slide, please. So our mission, this is our mission statement, preparing students to serve Christ and His church through biblical, reformed, experiential, and practical ministry. Our little short motto is training today for service tomorrow. Next slide. All right, I don't know how well you can see that in the back there, but if you do want to come forward for these slides, you're welcome to, because you probably see them closer, but okay, just starting on the bottom left, Dr. Jerry Bilkus has been with me for 23 years. He was the first one to join me. He's from the Free Reformed Churches, teaches Old and New Testament, a very unusually gifted scholar who's humble, very humble and godly. Dr. Mark Kelderman on the bottom middle is he's now a doctor. Yeah, Dr. Kelderman. He's got a doctorate in counseling. He's developing at present a full MA degree in counseling. There's a lot of need for counseling in churches. And that will be unleashed next year, next fall of 2022. Meanwhile, he's been with us for about 10 years as our Dean of Students and Spiritual Formation. So unlike most seminaries, we do have someone in that position. And what he does is he meets with every student, all of them, twice a semester. And they talk about their spiritual well-being and spiritual well-being of their wife, their family. He arranges internships for the students and so on. So he's like a pastor of the students. And then the man in the bottom right, Dr. Bill van Dodebart, got his PhD from Scotland. He's been our church historian for the last 12 years or so. And then going straight up is Dr. Adrian Neely. He's our director of PhD program. He's well known all over the world. Worked in the Yale Center, helped publish Jonathan Edwards studies. He's been a seminary president in Quebec. He's been a professor in South Africa. Very, very godly man. Up until we got him about 6 years ago, or 4 years ago, probably 5 years ago, I was considered to be the visionary in the seminary. Well, he outvisions me. He had a business background. He knows how to establish partnerships and various centers for Jonathan Edwards studies, things like that. So right now we have 5 campuses, thanks to him, all around the world. And we have, for a THM degree, and we also have a lot of study research centers, Puritan research centers, Jonathan Edwards centers. So he thinks big, and he's helping us connect Puritan Reform to the world. And then the man top and middle is Dr. Michael Barrett, probably one of the best Old Testament scholars in the world. He's been teaching Hebrew for 45 years. He can teach Hebrew in his sleep. The guy is amazing. And he's our academic dean as well. Very quiet, humble man who's very effective. And then I teach systematic theology and homiletics. As I'm publishing my systematic theology now in 4 volumes, as of next year, I'm only going to keep one course in systematics. And we're hiring another systematic theology teacher. And I hope to devote the rest of my life to homiletics, which is teaching how to preach. Whatever time the Lord gives me, I want to really focus on that. That's the center. That's the center of PRTS. We want to train men who are great preachers, not just great counselors and great teachers and all of that, but especially preaching is our focus. Next slide, please. So these, in addition to Dr. Neely, these are the 3 men we've hired about 4 or 5 years ago when we began a PhD program to help get trained men out around the world in positions of prominence so we can establish solid seminaries in countries all over the world. The man on the left, Dr. Stephen Myers, he is also a kind of a quiet, godly man, but just a very able preacher and teacher from the ARP churches. Dr. Greg Salazar, he did his PhD in Ebenezer Erskine's Covenant Theology. So he's really into covenant theology, publishing a popular book on covenant theology next month through RHB. You should get it. It will really open your eyes. The middle man, Dr. Greg Salazar, he's the one who teaches especially on the Puritans in the PhD program. He got his PhD about 3 years ago from Cambridge. And Dr. Daniel Timmer on the right is our Old and New Testament PhD program professor. Probably the most brilliant man in the entire seminary. He's a real PhD man. He used to teach at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson. He's been president of a seminary himself, and just very, very gifted biblical scholar. Next slide, please. The faculty, by the way, gets along just perfectly well, and we're also hiring probably 3 more men, or 2.5. That are coming to our Senate May 26th for final approval. So do pray for that meeting. It's this month. And one of those men hope to join us this fall and one next fall. And the other one will be probably part-time. So that will be a huge help to us. This is our staff. For time's sake, I'm going to just tell you it's a wonderful staff. We won't hire anyone. We won't hire anyone that doesn't catch our vision. So they're all godly people. They all believe in Reformed, experiential, practical, doctrinal preaching and teaching, and they want to forward the mission. So you'll feel it even if you walk into our building. Really, you will. There's a spirit of unity there. We're all working for the same cause, and I don't know of anyone in our staff that won't go the extra mile in work. Thank you. Next slide, please. So we have four programs at present. We have the Master of Divinity in the top left. That's your 3.5 to 4 year degree for ministers. Then you have the MA. That's our biggest program, training ministers. Then you have the MA. That's especially for people, maybe men from Africa, for example, who can't stay away from their families too long, and it just take a 2 year degree, and they go back and they do some more long distance courses with us and things like that. Or people from North America who don't feel called to be preachers, but want to go on and teach in colleges and universities and that type of thing. We don't have too many students in that category, but a number. And then THM, Master of Theology, top right, that's a degree for those men who are already ministers, already have an MDiv degree. This is like kind of like continuing education. And foreign students who get a THM, it's just a 30-credit degree, they can go back and become professors in their own countries. Also in America, somewhat, but usually in America, most seminaries are looking for men with PhD. And then the PhD program is the top bottom three, biblical studies, historical theology, systematic theology. And then you see Doctor of Ministry. The Doctor of Ministry degree we're just establishing and starting this fall in homiletics. And I'll be teaching in that, as will two of our other professors. And this is to take men who are already ministers and really focus on their preaching and help them become better preachers of the gospel. We'll be opening also at the same time a PhD in homiletics, which will be more academic. But this degree will be, I think, very popular, a DMin for ministers. And all of our degrees are accredited, except for the Doctor of Ministry degree. The Association of Theological Schools just came out last month, and they told us that they are going to forward it to their annual June meeting, so that's next month, and favorably. So hopefully by the middle of next month, this degree will be accredited as well, and we can begin in the fall as planned. Next slide, please. Here's our trajectory of growth. I don't know how well you can see it, but on the left side, it starts out at 4, and it goes up to about 200 there. That slide's about a year or two old. But you can see the incline of growth each year. And people often ask us, why, when most seminaries are receding in numbers, why does yours keep growing? And if I can answer that humbly, I would just say for two reasons. One is there is a hunger out there for a seminary that is thoroughly sound and really believes the Bible, really believes Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and believes the whole of Scripture and has dedicated men. And so our faculty is a big draw. Many of our faculty members have good name recognition. They're trustworthy. They're reliable. That's a big draw. But our biggest draw, I think, are our alumni. They go back out to their churches in different denominations all around the world. They come from 31 different denominations, 20 different nations, and people sit up and notice. This is a really good preacher. Where did he get his training? You know, that's how. Or the alumni themselves. Our satisfaction of our alumni is nearly 100%. With their degrees at Puritan Reform. So they go out and tell other people, and they have young men in their congregation. They say, train at Puritan Reform. You'll never be sorry. That type of thing. Next slide, please. So I don't like this picture at all because they're practicing social distancing, but last year, this is the class of 2020. Actually, it was about 40% of the class, because most of them had to go back to their countries quickly when they finished because of COVID, because the world was shutting down. And so most of them received their degrees, what we call in absentia. That is, they weren't present. But anyway, you can see what it looks like. Next slide. All right, these are just some graduates. The top one there is now working in Malawi. The next man on the right is a minister in Ontario, doing well. The man on the bottom actually married that young lady who was in our school as well. The MA students, females can apply to that because that's not a ministerial degree as well as a THM and PhD. But she went with him to Egypt, and we have had a couple of Egyptian students, and they have excelled. They travel all over the Middle East at the risk of their lives. It wouldn't surprise me at all if this young man gets imprisoned or killed at some point. He's kind of the protege of a student that came to us first from Egypt. That student is presently getting his PhD from us. They're spearheading a reform movement all throughout the Middle East. Their stories are amazing. We were sitting in chapel just some weeks ago, and someone just said, I just got a text message from one of these Egyptian students who's gone back. And he said, I'm just going through, and he mentioned a certain country in the Middle East where if he got caught or found, he'd be jailed and probably killed. He preached underground in that country. And he said, pray for me. I'm all by myself. I'm going down a road. And I have to sneak over back into another country in order to escape and get back to Egypt. And I can't go through customs because I would be arrested. 2 hours later, we got a message. Thanks for your prayers. I made it through. Oh, you know, that's the way these guys will live. Next slide. Man on the left is our full-time videographer and a part-time student. Just a wonderful, wonderful brother. He came to us in an amazing way. We asked him to be our full-time videographer because we needed one badly. And he said, well, I've never left Detroit. I've been working in Detroit, living in Detroit all my life, and I got a full-time job there. We offered him the same wage. And he said, I'll have to pray about that. This is a big decision. He went home. He got his wife around him and 3 kids. And he said, oh, Lord, if this is thy will for me, make it very, very clear. The next morning, he went to work and he looked at his boss. He said, what's wrong with you? Because his boss looked kind of white and distressed. And his boss said, ah, Daryl, we've lost our number one client. Pulled the rug out from underneath us, and I'm going to have to let you go. And Daryl said, no problem, sir. I know where I'm going. The middle guy is named Joseph. He called me up one day and said, I'm from Mexico. Would you come and do a conference for me? I said, well, who are you? Well, he said, I'm self-taught. I've been training myself for the last 8 years through Reformation Heritage books. So what? How many people you expect at this conference? He said, 800. I said, 800? Where did all these people come from? Well, he said, I got converted in Ohio. I was into drugs. I was left nearly for dead more than once. But in desperation, I walked into a church and I got converted. And then I felt called to go to Mexico, but I didn't know any Spanish. I met a girl in California who knew Spanish, and I married her. And she said, yeah, I'll go to Mexico with you. So we started in a garage with 5 people. And I've trained 5 ministers now. And will you come and do a conference? I was so curious, I said yes. And I went, and sure enough, 800 people, 5 well-trained ministers. So he's back training with us now because he never had training. He's unusually gifted, obviously, and a powerful preacher. And the goal is that he now goes back to Mexico soon. And he wants to establish a seminary there, and there's a man in Mexico who will let them use his summer camp buildings free of charge. So they have a seminary building waiting for them, and the goal is to train men in Mexico not only, but to establish all these courses in Spanish and reach the entire Spanish-speaking world, which you know is in revival for the Reformed faith right now. The biggest revival in the world right now is through Spanish, Latin-speaking countries, and reach these men who are becoming Reformed all around the world with Spanish-speaking courses. So this man is the man who's going to spearhead that if God blesses the plan. And the man on the right is Simon. Simon actually is half Korean, half Chinese, and got converted through a car accident, and God brought home to him, "Your life is in vain." And he was in Michigan getting a PhD in business. And God turned him around and sent him to our seminary. When he came to us, he was quite ignorant. And we had to start from scratch. Fast forward 8 years from now, he is my colleague in my church. We have three ministers. He's one of them. And we have 35 Chinese people worshiping with us with headsets. And he's the pastor of the Chinese segment. And he preaches for us in English. And 8 years ago when he came, he barely knew English. So God has done wonderful things through this brother. Next slide. This is just a picture of some of our students. Next slide. The top right is our new housing complex. A few years ago, we built 16 dorms in our front yard. So my wife and I now have 53 new neighbors. And we love it. And the top left is the old seminary building that got demolished in order to put up the housing project. And so in the bottom slide, you can see in the front is the housing project, behind it is the seminary building, and to the left in the woods there is our home. And we own 8 acres of property around this complex. Next slide. These are international partnerships. We have THM campuses on all of these places. The American Theological Society actually went and traveled to all of them to accredit them. They're all accredited. And our professors teach half the courses there, and their professors. These are all sound schools, and their professors teach half. So one's in Brazil, one's in London, England, one's in the Netherlands, one's in Seoul, Korea, and one's in Taipei, Taiwan. And we also have one now at the bottom of Africa at the Makanya Theological School in Johannesburg. Next slide, please. Okay, here's Dr. Myers on top teaching in Brazil, and Dr. Neely on the bottom teaching a class in Taiwan. Next slide. Reformation Heritage Books. Staff and store is also in the building, but we outgrew it now. I started Reformation Heritage Books at the same time as a seminary 26 years ago, and we just purchased a building, 44,000 square feet, because Reformation Heritage Books has just gone through the roof in terms of sales, and it's just growing $500,000 to $1 million worth of sales every single year in the last 5 years. And so now we finally have a very large building, which we're renovating. We have a dedication night, July 16th. You're welcome to join us that night. You'd love it. And so RHB will still keep this store in our building. That will be its second store. But the goal is to have all the operations at the other site. Next slide, please. That's the RHB leadership team. Next slide. And that's the new home on the top. It was a paint store. Now it's going to be a RHB store. Next slide. Thank you very much. If you want to learn more about us, go to prts.edu. Let me have a prayer. Great God of heaven, Well, yes, I benediction upon this little talk. Please go with us further. Bless thy word as it comes to us. And give us a wonderful morning. And let this coming sermon be the capstone of this series. And help us to also love missions all around the world. Also the missions that comes through seminary training. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.